This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Grant and Danny getting started on this Wednesday. And it is going to be a big Wednesday in Washington, D.C., Caps-Canes Game 7 tonight at 7:30 at Capital One Arena. Nats play the Rockies matinee today at Coors Field in Colorado. They get started in the 3 o'clock hour right here on The Fan.
Matter of fact, so we're done at 2. Yep. I think Chris Russell's on the air for a half hour. And then Nats pregame. We've got play-by-play all day. You got the Nats for about a 3.5-hour block into the Caps tonight all the way until late evening.
Just spotting dimes eating onions today. As the Jesus of the famed bowling team of Quintana and O'Brien told the Dude and Walter, you got a date Wednesday, baby. Big day today. Nats trying to win a series, and sort of the Capitals, by the way, slightly more significant there.
Yeah, I would say that that's the biggie, if you will, tonight. Of course, the NFL draft is tomorrow. All kinds of reports coming out on the Redskins. Yesterday, after we got on the air, one of the Jets beat reporters floated that Washington's been in touch with New York about moving up to the number 3 pick. Today, Diana Rossini of ESPN said she's hearing that Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen really like Dwayne Haskins. She didn't mention that Jay Gruden liked Dwayne Haskins, but the owner and the president apparently do. If they moved up to number 3, it wouldn't be to take a non-quarterback. So we'll get to all of that as we continue today. But why don't we start with the Capitals? They have played 3 home games. They have won 3 home games. They have played 3 road games. They have lost all 3 of them. Game 7 on home ice tonight. Here was Todd Reirden after Game 6.
We need more from all of our players. And, you know, this is the type of adversity that you expect to go through in the playoffs. And we worked hard all year to give ourselves a chance to have home ice. And that's where we've had our most, played our best hockey. And, you know, our best game in the series was Game 5 at home. So we're going to hope to build on that one.
If they play anything like they did in Game 5, we're in for a treat tonight. Danny, the series is on the line. The season is on the line against the upstart Carolina Hurricanes. This was not supposed to be easy. I think some people projected a 5-game series. I picked the Caps in 6. I think you took the Caps in the 7 that they're going to get to tonight.
I did indeed.
But the playoffs are not easy. There's nothing generally smooth about the postseason. The Caps playing in yet another Game 7, 2 of the most arduous, scary words in sports. Last time they did that, Eastern Conference Final on the road last year, they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. I was talking to someone yesterday about this, and they said it perfectly. I said, you know, I'm really nervous because it's a Game 7, but I'm also very confident in this group. Does that make any sense? And they said, of course it does. You've got an entire lifetime of disappointment and anxiety, and then 1 year of extreme confidence that are punching each other, trying to knock each other out right now.
Sure, it's an arm wrestling match.
So I've got 30 years saying something bad's going to happen, and then last year saying something's good's going to happen. And that's the feeling I think a lot of people have. But there's no reason not to be confident. They have been exceptional at home. Alex Ovechkin's been brilliant all series. Nicholas Backstrom on home ice has been phenomenal. Evgeny Kuznetsov has played better at Capital One than he has at PNC Arena. You got the best 3 players. You got the best goaltender. You got the best defenseman. Go get yourself a series.
Somebody from the second tier, the supporting cast, whatever you want to call it, has to do it. Last year, that was the story. It was Lars Zeller with the big goal. It was multiple times, by the way, throughout the postseason. It was DSP with 7 massive goals. Jacob Vrana's got to get on a score sheet. Carl Hagelin's got to do something. Burakovsky had that 2-goal game in the Game 7 that you just referenced. The headliners are going to do headliner things. They're going to make plays. Whether they end up scoring goals or not remains to be seen. Those things are kind of fluky. Somebody down the line has to do something that they haven't done this series, in my opinion, to win it. Because you know Carolina's going to play fast and fancy free. They shouldn't be here. The whole world favors the defending champions. The pressure's on the home team, in my opinion. And I think the Capitals will rise to meet that pressure. But who knows what happens, honestly. When you talk about that tug of war, Let's say Carolina gets an early goal. It happens in sports, right? What's the building going to be like? Is it going to be the, oh my God, we've got, you know, this will be the 11th time the Capitals have lost a two-game lead to collapse in a series? Or is it, we're fine, we won the Stanley Cup last year, falling behind in every possible fashion? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what wins out in terms of anxiety.
The Nationals played last night and won last night. So they are now even at 11-11 on the season. They have been 500 pretty much all year long and really dating back to early last season. They fell behind 2-0 before scoring 4 runs in the third, taking a lead they wouldn't relinquish. Victor Robles doing the heavy lifting on offense. Bases were loaded, and the rookie center fielder delivered.
Here it comes. Changeup ripped in the air to deep left center field. Desmond chasing after it, not going to get it. This one is down into the wall. Corbin will score. Defoe and Eaton almost on each other's heels. Defoe scores. Eaton trying to score. The throw in is too late. It's a bases-clearing 3-run double for Victor Robles. They nearly had a play on 2 runners. Defoe scored standing. Eaton scores sliding. And the Nationals in front 3-2. Big hit for Victor Robles. He now has 10 RBIs for the season.
The exciting center fielder also stole 2 bases last night, 4th and 5th of his season. Story was Patrick Corbin again. 2 earned runs in 6 innings. He has pitched 4 times going into that game, all quality starts, and he continued that stretch. 5-for-5 with the Nationals, a 2.48 ERA. He's yet to lose. He's been their best pitcher. And then the bullpen. I didn't love everything Davey Martinez did last night. Joe Ross got 1 out.
I didn't understand that.
He went to the lefty to get 2 lefties, which is reasonable enough. But then you had to get the 8th inning, and Wander Suero pitched for 2 batters before you went and got Sean Doolittle for another 4-out save. All the buttons he touched worked. We'll see carrying over into today what the ramifications are, using 4 relievers when you probably could have used 2 or 3. But what he did worked. The Nationals get a win, and they are now within a half game of the Phillies for 2nd place in the division, 1.5 games of the top spot in the division, the New York Mets.
Yeah, and everybody's dealing with injuries at this point, right? All the teams in the division are dealing with some key guys being out for them. And it would be really nice if the Nats could take advantage of that. Now, it's going to be tough because the Padres are playing good baseball. That's who's coming up on their schedule. The Cardinals are really, really good. And then they go to Philadelphia at the start of May. So there's just not that many breaths, not that many moments where you can go, this is easy. That should have been this past weekend in Miami. And obviously they didn't take advantage of that. But you'd like to start putting a couple things together here. But as you mentioned, they've been very 500. They've been right there. 3-3, 4-4, 5-5, the whole 9 yards, now at 11-11.
And I just can't see them really turning it on and winning 9 of 10 or anything like that until they can get their best players back. You mentioned that everybody's injured, and that's cool and that's fun. No team in the division is without their shortstop and third baseman. Trey Turner, who might be the most important overall player on the team, played 162 games last year. And Anthony Rendon, who was hitting over 400, leading the team in homers and RBI, has now missed 3 games. But give the Nationals credit, they are 2-1. In the 3 games without Turner and Rendon, since Rendon got hit by that pitch right now. But the NL East is very tight, with the 4 contenders all separated by a game and a half. Brings us to the Redskins, 3-up, 3-down here in this first segment, Danny. The Diana Rossini report from ESPN today was simple. She thinks, based on the people she talks to in the building, that they are very seriously interested in getting Dwayne Haskins. Now, my response and retort to that was, so are a lot of teams that aren't going to be able to.
How?
He's going to be not on the board, very likely, when they pick at 15, and I don't think they're trading up. Connor Hughes, who covers the Jets for The Athletic in New York, said, keep an eye on the Redskins. I'm told there have been some early talks between them and the Jets. I don't buy that at all. I would be shocked if they moved up 12 picks. The amount you'd have to give up to do that would far exceed what you had to give up to get Robert Griffin, because they only went up 4 picks to do that. Griffin at that time, whatever you think of him now and his career and how it played out and whose fault it was, a way better, higher ceiling, sure thing prospect than Dwayne Haskins. That would be a crazy 12-pick trade-up for me. I would want nothing to do with
that. So the Jets, to get Darnold last year, gave up a 1 and then 3 twos. Now,
how many picks did they go up?
I believe it was 3, to move up 3. And so the market for the Griffin pick may have been different than what it is now. I don't know that it would take you giving up two first rounders and second rounders? I don't know.
To move up nine picks the third pick in the draft?
My point is, I don't know. I don't know what the value. I don't know if it would be the same. I don't know if it would be different. The point is, it's a huge cost.
To move up into the top three from outside of the top 10, I would have to imagine would take at least two number ones and a number two. That's a massive
It's a massive
move.
Jump. It's a massive jump. And I just don't see it. So Daniel Jeremiah put this perfectly, a guy that we love, at Move the Sticks. What I've heard in the last 24 hours, Redskins are moving up for Haskins. Redskins moving up for Jones. Giants moving up for Locke. Giants taking Jones at 17. Titans taking Locke. Bengals taking Haskins. Bengals not taking a quarterback. Lions trade back and take quarterback. This is the era of, this is the moment where everything is a smokescreen, everything is planted, everything is about disinformation and espionage, because somebody is hoping that the thing they want shakes free, and they're hoping that that misinformation leads someone to overplay their hand.
Right.
What you hope is that a Chicago Bears general manager panics, trades a bunch of picks to San Francisco to move up one spot because they're afraid of something that's not going to happen happens.
Yeah, if you want to play buy or sell on the Redskins going up to three, I'm selling it as far to the end of the world as I can. Now, do they like Haskins? I'm sure they do. I'll bet you there's teams picking in the 20s that like Haskins as well.
Absolutely.
You might not get to draft them, and my guess is that they're not going to be able to. But we'll get more into that later in the hour. Next, why don't we take some calls on the Caps and the Canes Game 7 for the first time. They got to lead the show off, don't they? They are playing a win or your season's over game tonight. So we'll open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines for you next at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. What is going to happen tonight? Call your shot, Caps fans. You're next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for making this show part of your day, particularly on a massive Wednesday where the Caps are playing Game 7. DC, I need you to wake up. I need you to get lively, I need you to be loud, and I'm looking forward to an electrifying, memorable atmosphere tonight in this, the final Game 1 matchup between the Caps and the Canes. Inexcusable not to have the phones full right now, so let's get to your calls at 800-636-1067 as they come in. 800-636-1067. It is time to board the boat and bring back some fish, Mr. Rouye. Game 7 tonight.
It is Game 7 this evening. And again, the history is not kind to the Capitals. Carolina, in their more brief histories, 4-0 in Game 7s. The thing that I can't stand are the individual records of certain players in Game 7s. What a bizarre thing in a team sport.
Justin Williams is 7-1, Mr. Game 7. What does that make Carl Hagelin, who's 8-1?
Yeah, he's 8-1. And, you know, I think Justin Williams' loss involved Carl Hagelin. I don't know. That stuff is stupid. Here's what's not stupid. The Caps have to play the hockey they've played at home. They have to play well tonight. Carolina is not going anywhere. And this is what I thought before the series, and it's what I think now. These are not pushovers. This is not just some amateur hour group that's lucky to be here. Carolina's good. They play a frustrating style. And they play a way that honestly is a good recipe for playoff success. They throw pucks at the net. And when breaks go their way, you get tip-ins. You get fracases in front where there are those, quote, dirty goals. This is a good club. I think the Capitals are fully capable of being better. I think the Capitals probably are better. If you play this series 50 times, the Caps win the majority of them. But that all kind of goes out the window tonight, because the cliche, anything can happen in a Game 7, is a cliche for a reason. It's a truism. It's really, really hard to close a team out that's kind of playing fast and free, that's got nothing to lose, because you're the favorite. You're the defending champion. All the pressure's on you, and they've got a hard-nosed, us-against-the-world kind of approach from Coach Rod Brind'Amour. Carolina's, again, not going to just roll over and die. The Capitals can't expect anything like that to happen. They've got to be the better team tonight.
It's been very obvious pretty early in these games, frankly, whether or not the Capitals had the winning formula, you know, whether they were playing a brand of hockey that was going to net them a win. The only game where I thought after one period whatever prediction I would have made about the final outcome was wrong was the last one, game six, because I thought the Caps played a better first 20 minutes. They were up 2-1 on the scoreboard. And probably not coincidentally, it was the only game so far in this series where there's been a lead change. In the first five games, the team that scored the first goal never trailed, and the team that scored the first goal went on to win. And that reversed in the third period with a Jordan Staal goal in game six in Raleigh. But I think what it looks like is very obvious for Caps fans. You see it and you know it when they've got their game going. And what is their game, right? Because that's kind of a cliched thing that means nothing. They got to play their game. To me, their game against Carolina, you know, we can overuse just the term forecheck, but it's a heavy game where the puck is behind the adversarial net, where Peter Mrazek's kind of peeking over his shoulder because they're working what's called kind of low to high. They're behind the cage. They've got bodies crashing the net. Think Ovechkin digging out a puck when Dougie Hamilton was afraid to get hit and made a business decision, or as he would tell you, thought it was icing, and throws the puck to Brett Connolly right in front of the crease. Now, how many goals on that cup run, fourth line goals like Chandler Stephenson to DSP, did you see that exact same way last year? But that is what it looks like. The other key for the Capitals, this is a little bit scarier for me because I think this is harder to replicate every single night in the playoffs. But when their power play has worked, they've won. And when their power play hasn't, they've lost. Mm. Their power play has obviously been definitively better at home, which could bode well tonight. Their entries have been better. They're seemingly more comfortable and at peace on home ice, you know, keeping the puck in and making tape-to-tape passes, and everything seems to move quicker. But when you look back at a game five as an example, when they scored six goals, they had four power plays. They scored three goals on the power play.
Mm-hmm, no accident there, yeah.
Game six, they just couldn't get into the zone. But tonight, for me, in game seven, this is, you mentioned about the bottom six and getting an unlikely hero, and that might be the case. I really do believe, though, for me, this is about Backstrom, 8 points in six games, five goals. Ovechkin, 8 points in six games, four goals. Carlson, five assists through six games, due for his first goal of the series from the point. Evgeny Kuznetsov, maybe the most important player on the ice tonight.
Agreed.
Do you want to be great or you don't? Do you want to show up or don't you? And if we find out he's hurt after the series, then I'll apologize, and I'll say, hey, I questioned you, and I shouldn't have. Now, I have heard rumblings that Jacob Verana is not healthy. I told you this yesterday. I think he's got some upper body issue right now that is really prohibiting him from being himself. He's made seven shots on net. He's a minus one. He's pointless in six games. He's providing nothing.
Nothing.
But I've been told that guy's not healthy, not right. So I'm not getting particularly upset about him. He's out there gutting through it like everybody else is. By all accounts, Kuznetsov supposedly is fine, and he's shown these flashes, Danny, where he's last year's Kuznetsov. He's just not that guy consistently. If you want to get out of the first round, he can't lay an egg again tonight. It just can't happen.
The thing that I would add, and it's my number one viewing test or eye test or priority, is, and you'll know it the same way you said you know it when you see it when it's in the Caps offensive zone. To me, it's about what happens in their defensive zone. When the ice is tilted, when Carolina is dumping it, and they got all three guys in their forecheck covering every exit, and they're smacking the Capitals, and they're turning it over, and there's chance after chance, and the Capitals think it's cleared, and they start to take off as they did the other night, and then the puck ricochets. If the puck can't get out of the Caps' defensive end, Carolina wins this game. If you can punish them for trying to forecheck, or if you've got it down to the other end, and anytime that they're dumping it in, it's so they can get a line change, the Caps will win the night. But the games they haven't won, Carolina's forecheck has been the difference to me. Not letting the Capitals do anything that they want to do. Whether it's passing out of the zone, carrying the puck out of the zone, whether it's getting the puck deep themselves to play that game where they can be heavy and lean on the defenders. To me, this is about what they do in the back end. They're going to test Siegenthaler time after time after time after time. If he passes with flying colors and the puck moves, Caps win this game.
But if they get to. They didn't get to test him in game five in D.C. They never got the puck into the offensive end. They never got to forecheck and play heavy. They didn't do any of that because the Caps dominated play and tilted the ice. I mean, why not come out and what's to say they can't pull that off again at home? Scott in Manassas seems to be thinking the way I am, it looks like, after all the years of disappointment. He's confident because of last year's cup run. What's up, Scott? How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Good, buddy.
Doing great.
Good. Yeah, I'm with you. I agreed to comment earlier, Grant, that it's this combination of tension and joy, and I don't know how to handle it. I'm nervously excited.
Yeah.
I still think they can do it. I think the forecheck is the big thing. And I think our third and fourth lines have got to go out and get at least one dirty goal tonight. And I think that will put us in position to get us the win. I do think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to come down to some last-minute heroics in period three. But I think we can pull it out. Oof. As long as we play like we did in game five.
That feels so stressful and so anxiety-ridden.
My stomach is upset.
For that not to happen, but if it's a win, then I'll take it however it comes. If I got to go to overtime and go up and down the ice like the Sharks and the Knights in the greatest playoff game I've ever seen last night, then I'll live with it if the Caps ultimately win. As far as the bottom six goes, Connolly's got goals in two straight games. Eller had an empty netter. That's kind of it. That is the list of the goal scorers in this series in the bottom six. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. We'll be talking Caps all day long, including at the end of the show today when our buddy Wes Johnson calls in to unleash the fury ahead of Game 7. But next, there's a report from ESPN that the Redskins are smitten with Dwayne Haskins. That's all well and good, but can they actually do anything about that? What is the chance that he ends up in Washington? You're listening to The Fan.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Remember, we've got Nats tickets today that could be yours. At 11:30, we'll give those Nationals tickets out. We got a pair of them to see the St. Louis Cardinals, April 29th at Nationals Park, 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union taking you out to the ballgame. Make sure you're listening at that time. I did a pretty good dad joke, I thought, today. It was one of those that's like so cheesy that it's not funny, it's cringy. But I think it might play a little bit with you, Danny, just because you live in the world that I live in.
It's what we do now.
So last night, Dar and I are texting about potential draft guests for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he says there's this guy that he's been watching on some different casts and listening to on podcasts who does a good job named Thor Nystrom from RotoWorld.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow, that's an amazing name. He said, I'm going to try to get him on. Way to go. You do that. So this morning I get a text from Dar and he goes, Thor's good for 11. And I told him I was very excited about that. See if Iron Man could do one. Because I wanted to talk
exactly
to
right. One
of his buddies about the big release of Avengers today. And then Dar proceeded to tell me that Thor could also do one if I wanted to move him. I said, well, I'm not sure. I've got to check Ant-Man's schedule.
See, so, I like it.
I think that's a good bit.
Because Dar's trying to do something serious, and the dad joke is above all else.
It is.
In other words, dad jokes, they don't care about how important your errand is. They don't care about what you're trying to get across. That Geico commercial, by the way, where all the dads in unison, where the woman goes, can you make me a burger? And they go, you're a burger. It's exactly right. It's perfect. They've nailed it.
It's a good joke.
They've nailed it.
So, Dar, when I fired off the first one, I'm sure there was like a little bit of a smirk or like, oh, that's kind of witty. That's funny.
You tried to swim move right past it, though, didn't you?
When you go around that and then you say Thor could also do one and I tell you it just depends on Ant-Man's schedule and the 1 o'clock hour, what are you thinking at that time?
Well, that one was fine. It was when you said you were trying to book Black Panther that I realized this was never going to end.
I kept going. That's true. I said, also, I've reached out to Black Panther and what was the other one? I can't even remember who the other one I
said. Black Widow.
No, it was Chris Pratt. What's his name? Star-Lord.
Star-Lord, yeah.
I was like, I'm waiting to hear back from Star-Lord and Black Panther. Tonight's the night, right? Avengers is out tonight?
I thought it was Nationwide
Thursday night.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I was thinking today's Thursday for some reason. So tomorrow is the end game. I'm so excited.
Early reviews are pouring in, by the way. People are saying it's fantastic. That's what the people are saying.
How could it not be? Here's what I don't understand.
Okay.
They plot out 20 movies in advance.
Yeah.
We've built up to this for a decade. People are completely in on all of the characters. So much of film and television, you know, working is you have to feel. You have to emote. Right. You have to care about these characters.
You have to give a damn what happens, good or bad, to characters.
We've got 20 movies of prologue here that says we care about these characters. How could it not be absolutely phenomenal?
So what's hard is when something is too busy. You know, when you've got too many people to worry about and you've got to pay off everyone. I thought Infinity War actually did a really good job of that.
But these movies are now 2 hours and 40 minutes. That's a lot of time to pay everything off.
Now you're paying everything off. But there's an investment that you've made in everybody, again, good or bad. So the early returns are that it's spectacular and really, really good. So
Tommy
I'm excited
tells
to see
me
it.
Endgame might even be over 3 hours. Do we got a runtime on that? Can you
look that up? I've heard right at three, right?
I'll take it, man. You know what else was the best and also 3 hours? A little movie called Titanic that won 14 Oscars. It was pretty good. Wasn't terrible. So give me a 4 hour Endgame, I'm fine. Remember when I always used to be annoyed by you because you never would go to the movies and see movies?
Yeah.
I don't know when I'm going to get to see this.
You get it now, right?
I completely get it.
Yep.
And I was trying to explain this to AWOD today, who now just doesn't get it.
He stared at you.
He's like, so when are you going to see it? Are you going opening night like you always used to do? And I was like, I won't be doing that.
No.
So tonight, I've got the Caps.
Right.
And I'll be at the arena. I'm going straight from here to Capital One Arena when I'm done to get ready for pregame. We're on at 6 tonight on NBC Sports Washington for Caps Face-Off. Tomorrow, we're doing a draft show.
Uh-huh.
And you guys should listen to it right here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm pumped about it. Pete Hedhurst. And myself. Pete Medhurst and me from the Anthem at the Redskins draft party. Craig Hoffman at Redskins Park. And Chris Russell here in studio. We're going to have wall-to-wall draft coverage all night long. But I'll be out of the house again tomorrow from 8 a.m. until 11 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday, the Valor opened their season as the defending Arena Football League champions in Baltimore. And I'm on the call of the game at Royal Farms Arena. Or, hopefully, the Caps beat the Canes tonight, and they would be playing, presumably, game one against the Islanders on Friday night.
So you see the point here is there's a lot of events, and you still haven't mentioned the fact that you have a baby at home.
So this is the point.
Yeah.
Is that my wife is sitting at home with a baby by herself doing everything, and while I think she's fine with that, she seems very content. I also know that there's a good chance she's internally resenting me and our marriage is suffering mightily or something because she probably hates me now and just hasn't told me yet. Avengers comes out, and that's now a couple hours where all I want to do is go see this movie.
It's now a four-hour-plus commitment, though, right? Because you're driving, you're getting there, you're sitting, afterwards you're bantering.
Hey, I know that I was at the Caps game on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and on Thursday I did the draft, and on Friday I was at the Valor. But now that it's Saturday, I want to go see Avengers, so would you mind hanging out with the baby?
And the point is there's always something.
There's no chance that I can do that. So I may not see Avengers.
You'll see it eventually, but it'll
in theater?
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you'll get to it, but it's going to be in theaters for a while, and things will die down, and you'll have a free moment. But
it's going to be spoiled for me before I do.
Absolutely. Well, the excitement of being able to see something early, I've basically given up. I don't read books anymore, which I miss terribly because I can't. When am I going to do that? And I don't go see movies. That's the thing I've kind of punted on. But I still do other stuff, obviously. But if I'm leaving the house, there's got to be a great purpose behind it. So when you and Chad couldn't believe I didn't want to go to like an Arena Football League game, I could never explain it to you guys. I can now explain it to you. You get it now. Where if I'm going to use my I'm not at home with my kids privilege, it's got to be for something truly remarkable and special.
I'm going to fight the urge to be annoying and take issue with your example because I think your example doesn't work. However, the point of what you're saying is correct, I believe. In other words, you said at the beginning of like the Washington Valor schedule coming out, I'll never go to a game. Over the course of a season, you probably could have gone and you could take your kid who would have a lot of fun. That example, Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock game, you can sit on the wall and watch Arena Football and Bill Rowland would love it and he might even call the game while he watches it. Not a great example, but the point is,
example because I know my family and my kid, and it's a perfect example. But that's neither here nor there.
When you can't
leaving for something that isn't like life critical,
right,
becomes much much harder with the young child.
It's definitely going to be an issue. I've already muted a bunch of words, by the way, on Twitter, so that I don't accidentally see more spoilers than I want to. I've muted the word spoiler. Like any tweet with that word.
Oh, so that's smart.
And also Endgame. So I'm not going to see any tweets. My main concern is...
You got to start muting character names.
Probably
people are going to casually drop what happens to name that character.
That's my greatest concern is by the time I get to the theater, and my popcornless, soda-less film is watched.
That's right.
As I'm sitting reclined, then I'll already know what happens, and now it's just a matter of putting the pieces together.
I'm going to try to go to the bathroom right before and not drink any water during. I'm just going to be parched while I watch this three-hour marathon.
It's the best way to do it. Hopefully it's cooler in that theater than it is in this studio.
Oh,
right,
it is now a steam bath in here.
You ever watch a movie in a 90-degree movie theater?
Yeah.
It's kind of like doing the show in here, only we're not watching a movie, we're doing a radio show.
Like one time, I was like, I'm so sorry to inform you that our air conditioning is broken. You'll get a discounted popcorn or something like that.
My anger in these moments always go toward Eric Bickle because he loves it so hot.
He's a reptile.
But he might not be the culprit, I don't know.
It's easier to blame EB. Just keep in mind, when it's 100 degrees in the summertime and it's 90 at 5 a.m. when he leaves his house,
right,
he's still in sweats.
And a jacket.
Yeah.
He'll wear like
he's
a cold heavy blooded. Jacket.
I don't mean in like the ruthless kind of way. I mean his blood inside him is cold.
Next, you'll hear the report from ESPN that the Redskins are in on Dwayne Haskins. The rumor yesterday was they have called the Jets about moving up to number 3. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Taking a lunch, getting out of the office early. You will be educated on Caps Canes Game 7 by Brian McNally. NBCSportsWashington.com. I got to
see. Ooh, yeah, bud.
Ah, that was coming,
that's
baby.
That's a good one. That's a steam room allergy sneeze right there.
That was coming on for like.
Clear that throat. Get it out of there.
That was coming on for like 6 sentences.
Dude, that was.
That was a long time
coming. You ever, remember The Matrix was on the other day. You've seen The Matrix, right? Remember that?
Of course.
Okay, so there's a moment where Keanu Reeves or Neo's on the rooftop, and he goes, can you fly that thing? And Trinity goes, not yet. She's like, Tank, give me a pilot program for a B-12 helicopter. And he's like, he does that, plugs it in, and her eyes flutter?
Yeah.
That's what your eyes just did for about 6 seconds.
Waiting.
And I'm going, what is the, is this some sort of seizure?
Tommy popped on that.
He's twitching. You saw that, right, Tom?
Tom, you love that.
That was nuts.
Yeah, I loved it because you never hear people sneeze on the air. You know, you can do it behind the scenes, turn your mic off, but
right.
It was coming on so strong that you had to do it right into the microphone.
It was either like, whoa. I just stopped talking and turn off the mic and it sounds weird. We'll just let this go. People got to know. Sometimes people
this
sneeze.
Is what's going on.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a thunder sneeze.
The point of the dude's story is that Tariq El-Bashir will talk Redskins draft with us today at 1:30 after McNally breaks down game 7 at 1 o'clock. So here is your report from ESPN. Diana Rossini at Redskins Park. This is earlier today on the network.
Well, Greeny, let's start with the rumors that we're hearing that there is a trade in place for Josh Rosen with Arizona. And I'm told from sources with the Redskins organization, this is not on the table. This is not something Washington is even flirting with. So we go back to the draft. They've got that 15th pick. Quarterback. That's what I'm hearing inside this Redskins building here in Ashburn, Virginia. This decision is going to come down and be made by President Bruce Allen and owner Dan Snyder. They're the ones making the call on where they want to go with this pick. And the name I keep hearing is Dwayne Haskins. And we know that Dan Snyder's son went to high school near Dwayne Haskins, where he grew up here. Snyder's had his eye on him when he played at Ohio State. And he is a quarterback that impressed Bruce Allen at his pro day. Now, in terms of what the scouts and the rest of this Redskins staff want, well, guys, there are tons of needs. This team needs a linebacker. They could use another safety. They could use a guard, a wide receiver, a tight end, a laundry list of needs on this roster. Yet, this front office truly feels that they need to go quarterback at this 15th spot, and Dwayne Haskins will be that answer, Greeny.
What if he's not there? I mean, that's my follow-up. We asked Diana to come on the show today, and there's a weird bit where ESPN doesn't like their reporters to come on our station, which is fine. But just know that it doesn't make any sense to say, well, Dwayne Haskins is the guy for the Redskins at 15 when there's a really good chance he's not there. Now, here's what I do believe. Not only because of this report, I think Diana's talking to high-ranking officials, obviously. But before that, I thought this was the case. Don't you agree that if Haskins is there when the Redskins are on the clock at 15 tonight? Because John Clayton, as an example, has Haskins falling to the 24th pick in his mock draft he put out today.
Yeah.
I believe Haskins does not fall past Washington.
I don't think there's a chance he gets close to Washington. But if he's there at 15, of course they take him, yes.
I would think he's gone somewhere in the 5-7 range, don't you?
Yes. If it's not one of the teams that's there now, someone's going to trade for that spot. If the Giants don't want him, foolishly, by the way, I might add, Jacksonville's sitting there at 7. They just paid Nick Foles a bunch of money. Someone's trading with them. It's not getting past Denver. There's no way, to me, you can stay at 15 and select the quarterback you want. You'd have to trade up. So enter that report that we saw the other day from a Jets reporter who said the Redskins have been sniffing around the number 3 pick, etc. My takeaways from this report from Diana are not Dwayne Haskins specific. They've got the steamies for Dwayne Haskins. Well, probably, as you've already said on the show, 15 teams do. They'd love to have Dwayne Haskins. Good luck getting that pick. Here's what I take away. Dan and Bruce.
Yep.
Conflict between Dan and Bruce and what Jay Gruden wants, what's best for him, which is a team that fills some of the needs to give him a good chance to win and keep his job.
Jay Gruden's tightest ally in that building, from everything that I know, is Kyle Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those two guys work really closely together. Kyle Smith runs the draft room and puts together the draft board. I think what you're going to have inevitably tomorrow night is Dan and Bruce versus Jay and Kyle on whatever picks are made. And Dan and Bruce are going to win out for a lot of reasons. They're always going to win out. They're the president and the owner. But on top of that, Jay Gruden, who has 2 years left, could be going into his last season. Kyle Smith is not even your GM. He's basically your assistant to a general manager who just handles the college scouting side. But you're so right about this. If that doesn't deflate you, if that doesn't punch you in the stomach, and I would say go even further, if that doesn't annoy you to hear, Dan and Bruce are going to make this call, why? Please allow the guy that put the board together to make the call. Please allow the head coach to be more influential than the team president who doesn't know football and shouldn't be running the football operation.
So that's number one. Number two, and this is actually a positive, the quote-unquote trade being dead with Josh Rosen and no interest. I actually think that's a leverage move. I actually think that's smart. Because remember, this is misinformation. You always have to look at who benefits here. Do the Redskins benefit from the word out, they are desperate to make a trade with Arizona and get Josh Rosen and they'll do whatever it takes? Or is it, you know, what we're thinking about actually is going to get Dwayne Haskins or something else. We've got options. We don't have to do this with you, Arizona. I actually think that's good. So the first part is depressing, terrifying. Any conversation is pointless if it involves Dan and Bruce doing anything other than clapping when the selection is made. The other side to that coin, though, is this is some strategizing. This is some playing a little bit of chess here, and I like that. I want the Redskins to participate in this misinformation. We can't judge them before they do something or don't do something.
I agree with that.
We can't get pissed based on rumor.
I hope you're right. I don't trust that you are. It's got nothing to do with you and everything to do with a lot of years of following the Redskins pretty close.
Oh, I get it.
The Josh Rosen possibility is a no-brainer to me. It is a slam dunk. It is a gift that is not often available to you. It is a present sitting under a tree waiting to be unwrapped in April. Quarterbacks like Josh Rosen, with the controllability at the cheap cost that would come with him to D.C., are not readily available for second-round picks, which is supposedly what it would take for the Redskins. I would love for them to trade for him, and I think they absolutely should. I don't think they're going to. If they get a quarterback tomorrow night, I think it's going to be at 15, and it'll be Drew Lock or Daniel Jones, or maybe, just maybe, somehow they get Dwayne Haskins. But I don't see them trading up, so I find that to be a near impossibility as well. We'll ask Thor Nystrom about this. He covers the draft and college prospects for Roto World. He's on Grant and Danny live next on 106.7 The Fan at 11:18. We got a Capitals spotlight to come your way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.